Hey everyone, welcome back to the Unlock the Sugar Shackles podcast. I am your host, Danny, and I am back today with another incredible interview episode with Judy Cho, who is better known as Nutrition with Judy on Instagram. She is a fellow nutritional therapy practitioner, and we dive into what we call the foundations of health, which we learned in nutritional therapy school, which is an incredible way of healing. And if you've ever worked with a nutritional therapist or worked with me, you will understand how deeply healing and effective that this approach is. Judy works with people and really focuses on the carnivore diet, and I am more in the blood sugar space. So we have a lot of shared things, and she is just a wealth of knowledge. And I loved this chat with her, so I hope that you will enjoy it as well. So let's dive into today's show. I'm Dani Hamilton, and you're listening to the Unlock the Sugar Shackles podcast. Our blood sugar affects how we feel at every second of the day and also has huge impacts on our long-term health. In this show, I'll help you understand more about your blood sugar and give you practical tips to help you gain more energy, have better sleep, crush cravings, have clear skin, happy moods, burn fat, and so much more. This show is about taking action and taking your health destiny into your own hands. Are you ready to feel better? Let's do it. Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the show. I know that there are tons of options when it comes to podcasts and true crime podcasts and brilliant people giving awesome shows. So thank you so much for tuning back into the Unlock the Sugar Shackles podcast. If you are liking the show and you want to show your gratitude, if you leave a review, like the show, rate it on iTunes, share it on your socials, that is the way for you to give back. If you are getting any information out of this show and want to share it with others, that's how the show grows and that's how we get new eyes on the show, and it helps to support me. So thank you again for being here, for your continued support. And to those of you who have already left reviews and ratings, I read them and I really, really appreciate it. So before we dive into the episode with Judy, I wanted to just take a quick second to tell you that the Blood Sugar Mastery Program is now open for enrollment. So if you are listening to this live or the week it comes out, which today is October 19th, Tuesday, 2021, the doors for enrollment are currently open for Blood Sugar Mastery, and they will stay open until Thursday, and they will close at 11:59 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday the 21st. So if you're listening to this as it airs, you have about a day or two to make sure that you get a seat in the program. We have such an incredible group so far. So many incredible people have joined, and they are inspired, they're motivated, and they are ready to start taking action, getting to work, and making those changes. And I wanted to just share a little bit about the program in case you are new here. So this is my signature 8-week course. If you have been with me from the beginning, you may have heard it go by the name Unlock the Sugar Shackles Group Coaching. It was then changed to the Balance Unlocked Project. So if any of those sound familiar, it's that program, but I am updating it, and of course, I always want to be upgrading, giving you the best information, delivering it in the most digestible way, pun intended. So I'm just kind of changing around some of the videos and making them in an easier format to take in, making them more actionable, and then adding a ton of content that in my past groups based on what I've seen, what I deemed would be helpful for them to succeed. So if you have been in a past group, you're going to get all the updates after this group finishes. So look forward to that, because you have been with me in the past and you're definitely going to get all these updates. And I'm also adding tons of bonuses and workshops, which I'm really looking forward to. So one of them is going to be a batch cooking workshop. Another one is going to be how to build a blood sugar balancing plate, so you can get started right off the bat and know exactly how to do this method, where we don't need to be counting, weighing, measuring things. So we're going to learn how to build a plate. There's going to be a workshop for reactive hypoglycemia. So for anyone whose blood sugar keeps crashing all the time, and that is so so devastating for people who are going through severe reactive hypoglycemia. It really, really interferes with their life. I just did an Instagram live with one of my past students, Roseanne. She was in the program with me. She struggled with reactive hypoglycemia. Her story is incredible of where she came from and where she is now. She has made incredible changes. And to be honest, when I first met Roseanne, she was in such a dark place, but I knew she was going to succeed because she is such an action taker. Everything I said for her to do, she did it, and with no questions asked. And even though it was hard for her, even though she was struggling, even though she didn't have a lot of energy, she never gave up. And it shows because she has just improved by leaps and bounds. And so one of the things Roseanne and I talked about on our live that I kind of wanted to bring in here, and that is a new theme that I am threading throughout the program, is that I tried to synthesize, okay, who are the people who are really succeeding in this program and what characteristics do they have in common? And I'm looking at them, and one of them is that they're open. They're open-minded and they're taking in all this information. Oftentimes, it is the exact opposite of what we have been taught our entire life. And it could be crazy. It could be hard. It can be time-consuming, or it could be just different and scary. And so the people who succeed in the program are willing to be open and experiment with different things and just keep trying. And another thing that is a trait that Roseanne inhabits and has is that she's an action taker. I told her to do something, she didn't wait, she's doing it. Every time I tell her something to change, she's on it. And it's these action takers that are going to see the most results. And finally, the last thing we talked about, there's a bunch more characteristics. That is one of the modules in the program because I want to set you all up for success, but I'm not going to share all of them here. But the last thing that I wanted to share is that in this program, Blood Sugar Mastery, we are working on developing a new lifestyle. This is not a crash diet. This is not a one-size-fits-all meal plan. This is, hey, here's a bunch of information and here are some things to implement. Try it. And then we need to adapt from there. So I'm not going to give you an exact, like I said, meal plan with the exact amounts and quantities. And here's exactly how many carbs you should have and exactly how many proteins. No, you're going to be figuring that out for yourself with my guidance and support. And that information is going to be way more valuable to you because it's going to give you the tools. You're going to tap into your body and learn to listen to what your body needs, because I don't know what your body needs. And you might not even. So the beginning modules are getting to a place where we can work to really tune into our bodies, to dial in and learn to speak the language of the body, which is symptoms. So we're going to be developing more awareness, and we're going to be paying close attention to what the body says and needs so that we can learn to give it what it's asking for. And that is a huge piece of the program and something that I'm so excited to be able to give you, because it takes time and it takes these skills. And during the program, so the program is 8 weeks long. It starts on the 23rd of this month, October, and it ends December 12th. And this is the first place I'm announcing this. I am going to extend the community through the holidays all the way up through, probably January 1st or the first week of January. So you're still going to have access to this community that you get inside the Blood Sugar Mastery program for extra accountability over the holidays, because even though it's only October, I'm sure, you know, based on the commercials you might be seeing, we already have to start thinking about the holidays. And I had a past client say like, oh no, this is the time of the year where I struggle the most. And yeah, this is where a lot of people are struggling. So I want to set you up for success for the holidays. So in addition, if you sign up for this round of the Blood Sugar Mastery program, you are also going to get, as a bonus, my Thriving Through the Holidays mini course, which is all about how to set boundaries during the holidays, which I think is so important. It also comes with a recipe guide, so a full recipe book with blood sugar stabilizing, blood sugar friendly recipes for the holidays. And it also comes with a free gift guide for the holidays. And I feel crazy to even be talking about this already, but you know how fast they come. So this is all going to be a bonus to help you find even more success even after the program has completed, because like I talked about on the live today with Roseanne, she saw incredible changes in 8 weeks, but she's had these issues going on for 20 years, like many of us, you know, for decades, we've been having these issues. So you're not going to find full healing in 8 weeks. That is not what this program is about. And that's not ever what I'm advertising, right? What I'm saying that this program is going to give you the foundational tools to start making changes and make this into a lifestyle and know exactly what to eat, how to fuel your body, how to listen to your body so you can have all these different tools to use at different times. So if you're really stressed out, you know, okay, I'm going to dial back my fasting. I might change, dial up or down my carbs. I might lean into these supplements. I might lean into these lifestyle practices. So you are prepared with what to do with whatever comes up in your life. And that is the beauty of the way that I structured this program. If I do say so myself, I'm really proud of it. So anyway, I'm so excited for this program to get started. We're starting, our kickoff call is going to be starting on the 23rd. The program's 8 weeks long. You have 8 core modules, which will help you with all of the root causes of blood sugar issues and things to support, like we go into digestion, we talk about how to support your liver and adrenals, which are two major organs of blood sugar regulation. We talk about appropriate movement for people with blood sugar and adrenal issues. Did I mention digestion and gut health? Digestion is the number one healing priority of the body. If you cannot break down or absorb nutrients, how are you ever going to get healthy? And so I see so many digestive issues with every single person I come across, but of course, everyone who has blood sugar issues. So if you're coming for the blood sugar issues, the digestive piece is just so crucial to pulling it all together and just accelerating your progress. And we also talk about macros. We talk about micronutrients, which are the smaller nutrients we need, like vitamins and minerals. We go into fasting. We look at how to use carbs as a tool and so much more in this program. And like I said, I have all these new bonuses and workshops and speakers from outside. So my friend Danielle Dame, who does the Quit Sugar Summit, she's coming in to talk about limiting beliefs, which can often keep us stuck. So we're really going to be dialing in that mindset piece. We're going to have a really good friend of mine, Sarah Beth Jackson. She's going to come in and she is an incredible yoga and meditation instructor as well as an NLP practitioner. She's going to give a workshop on manifesting and accelerating what you're manifesting so we can experience the what it feels like to have met all our health goals so we can pull that in faster. It is an incredible modality and it sounds a little out there, but it is all very rooted in reality, in the subconscious, and it's just an incredible tool, right? And she's going to be coming in. We're going to have a movement workshop with mobility. We're going to do a meditation thing. So I have so many new things in store. And if you are listening to this and you have been a past student of the either the Balance Unlocked project, the Unlock the Sugar Shackles group coaching, if you've been in my group coaching before and you're like, hey, I want to go to all those workshops, guess what? You can. You can sign up for the Danny's Inner Circle. This program is my membership and it's open only for people who have gone through my group coaching program in the past. So if you're currently enrolled in Blood Sugar Mastery, you will get a chance to enroll in my membership program after that's done. So what you need to know now is that doors for enrollment are open until Thursday, so you can still get into Blood Sugar Mastery. And I have a $50 promo code for all my podcast listeners. And I made the code very easy, just write podcast, all one word. And that code podcast will get you $50 off enrollment into my Blood Sugar Mastery signature program. It is highly effective. I'm only making it better. And I cannot wait to get started with this new group. So thanks for listening. Any questions you have, feel free to email me, danny@daniellehamiltonhealth.com, or message me on Instagram @daniellehamiltonhealth. And I am happy to answer all your questions about the program if it's a good fit for you. One of the questions I get asked is, who is this program right for? And basically, it's anyone with blood sugar issues. So you might be starting out and you might be a newbie. You're like, I've never changed my diet before. I have no idea what all this stuff is. I'm just trying to get off, you know, the white stuff, off sugar. It could be for you, or it could be someone who is maybe struggling. They've tried to do keto before. They know a lot of information. They don't know how to put it into place. That would be perfect for someone like you, or someone who is doing a keto or carnivore diet and just not getting results. Like, just plateaued, not feeling the energy, the blood sugar's still high, or like maybe they saw some results and now they're struggling. So it's for all of those people, anyone on the spectrum of blood sugar issues, people with type 2 diabetes or prediabetes or reactive hypoglycemia are welcome to join. We do not treat, as a nutritional therapy practitioner, I don't treat or diagnose any diseases, but what we do is we work on the foundations of health, which is underlying issues of blood sugar dysregulation. We work on digestion and balancing fatty acids and minerals and hydration and getting more nutrients in the diet and all those lifestyle factors. So that's what we work on. And no matter what you're kind of coming to this from, you're getting all those incredible benefits. So I cannot wait for this round to start. I'm so excited with the new updates. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. And now let me introduce my friend, Judy Cho, who is, like I said, a fellow NTP. So she's a functional nutritional therapy practitioner, just like me. And she is the author of the book, The Carnivore Cure. Judy really struggled with her own health. She went from a plant-based diet where she had issues with after her pregnancy, after the birth of her first son. And I'll let her talk about it in the interview. It's a really riveting story of how she was really sick and had a lot of psychiatric issues while she was on a plant-based diet, and then completely turned those around with eating nutrient-dense animal food based diet. And her story is amazing. She's such a wealth of knowledge, and I'm so excited for you to hear this interview. So let's dive into the interview with Judy. All right. And I am here with Judy Cho. Welcome to the show, Judy. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me, and thanks for having me on.
Yeah, sure. So Judy is a fellow nutritional therapy practitioner. And so I'm really excited to talk about why that's different from just a traditional like keto coach, carnivore coach, just dietitian. So what makes us different? But I would love if we could just start with your story, your journey, sort of how you landed here and became this carnivore queen that you are.
Well, thanks. Thank you again for having me. But I was a management consultant for most of my career. I was in consulting, business management. And I guess my health started really declining. I was plant-based. I was born and raised in Los Angeles and then went to school at Berkeley. So all of those areas are very plant-based friendly. Thought I was doing the best thing for my health. 12 years in, I started having an eating disorder, as well as just struggling with mental health, lots of depression. Then I had my first son and I just got really sick, ended up needing to get on antipsychotics, antidepressants. And that's when I just started to take my health into my own journey, because the psychiatrist back then was telling me that what's so wrong with taking antidepressants for the rest of your life? If you have an imbalance, it's kind of normal. Like if you have a headache, you take Tylenol. Totally believed it. But I noticed after a few months, it wasn't working. So I wasn't feeling better, but I wasn't having the low moods, but I wasn't having any high moods. So my emotions were basically just muted, but it wasn't working as well. So then they kept putting me on higher doses and then trying to add on other medications that are for, you know, other more serious illnesses. And so I just thought there had to be a better way. I was having my second son. I was just not wanting to get sick again. And so on one of my maternity leaves, I just started researching into keto and I was just dumbfounded at all the information, right? So what, fat isn't bad for you, right? Meat isn't bad for you. And I was plant-based. And so I just started digging into the data. And then I wanted to just get a kind of baseline of understanding. I think I'm always somebody that needs to understand more than just surface level. Okay, keto's good. It helps you lose weight. And there's that, right? So I wanted to understand why. Why does our blood sugar get dysregulated? Why is fatty acid so important? Gut health and so on and so forth. And so I fell into Nutritional Therapy Association. I don't even know how I found it, but I thought it was, you know, really great with the principles, just the ideology of that they're not just standard American diet, or they're more flexible. And my instructor happened to be more keto based. And so that was easier for me to be meat based there. And then as I just did more nutritional therapy school and learned more and more, I just fell in love with everything. And I was always going to go back to consulting after I was done with maternity leave, but then I just kind of started sharing online, and then it just became this bigger thing than me. And so I stayed, and I really like what I do. Sure, it's hard, especially during these times where people are so opposed to diet, and there's lots of dogmas, there's lots of stuff with being online, but I think the greater good of just sharing and helping people to get to better health, especially in these times, is so important for me. And it's become my passion. I give back, but it also fuels me to be healthier.
I love that. What a great story. And coming from the plant-based world and struggling with all those issues, it's so common. And especially the depression and mental health piece. And, you know, I was talking about this online recently. I was talking a lot about digestion and talking about how a plant-based diet can leave us deficient in nutrients that create stomach acid. They can sort of lower our need for stomach acid. So then when we try to eat meat again, we're not able to digest it because we need so much stomach acid to digest proteins. And then just the fact that on plant-based diets, there's such a deficiency in protein most of the time, or bioavailable protein, that we're not getting those building blocks, those amino acids, to create these neurotransmitters. So it really is a recipe for mental health disaster in so many people, but it's painted to be such a panacea and this, you know, ideal way of living. And, you know, I talk about this a lot on the show, and I think that people come to plant-based with the best of intentions. And, you know, this is great for my body. This is great for the earth. This is great for animals. But it actually turns out that it's not great for any of those. So do you want to expand a little bit more on that, that topic a little bit? I think that there's some, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there. So can you kind of expand a little bit on that for us?
Sure. I just wrote a blog post on Beyond Meat's kind of ingredients. So we think of plant-based alternatives as an option for better climate, better nutrients for our health, and then we're just kind of saving the world. Well, I talked through multiple reasons as to why a lot of this isn't true. One of the things that the ingredients in a Beyond Meat burger is like canola oil and pea protein. And I talk through how there's just a lot of non-regulation. So pea protein, for example, is a powder. And so it's not regulated by the FDA. It's more of a drug than it is a food. And so there's not a lot of regulation with that. And then there's also a lot of studies where they show that these protein powders in general carry a lot of heavy metals. And so you don't really know what you're getting. The manufacturers don't have to really prove that, hey, all these ingredients and nutrients and benefits are really true and that they're really contained in these powders. And there's just a lot of other stuff. Canola oil, as I was just rewriting the blog post, it's heated over six or seven times throughout the process of making canola oil. So if you think about every time we use oil, and if it's at a certain heat, it'll become rancid, it'll become toxic to our bodies, and it'll become inflammatory. Well, there's, I think the tipping point of the degrees for these seed oils is like 140 degrees. And there are many times that they heat it over 140. The last part where they deodorize it and make it basically not smell rancid because it's gone bad is by heating it to like 450 degrees Fahrenheit. So you have to wonder, then we cook with it, then we microwave it when we have leftovers, and we then, use it over and over. And then we have to wonder, you know, how is that good for our body when we're using this frankenfood that the actual rapeseed plant that the canola oil is made from is actually really toxic to our health. If you ate the rapeseed, you would get poisoning. And so they made this plant into like a GMO version. So now we're also having GMO foods with tons of glyphosate that are toxic to our bodies and that have been proven to cause cancer. So now we have GMO plants that are for canola to make the rapeseed less toxic of uric. I think it's uruic acid. I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know how to say it either.
But basically it's so toxic. And then we argue and say, but animal fats are so bad when all you do is you cook the meat and there's leftover fat. And that's the fat we're recommending to eat. So that's one, but there's a whole slew of things. You have to think that animals basically naturally they can run away from their predators, whereas plants, they're in the soil, right? So they cannot run away, but they're every person being's goal in life is to have offspring and continue their like generations. So with plants, they have natural toxins within their plant and their chemistry. And so there are a variety of different anti-nutrients. Gluten is one. So gluten is, it's a lectin, it can be an oxalate, but all of these anti-nutrients, what it essentially does is it binds to nutrients. So as much as broccoli and spinach and all of these really healthy plant foods are right. And so as much as they're supposed to be healthy, they block a lot of the nutrients with their kind of toxins. And so you're not really absorbing a lot of the nutrients. And then on top of that, whatever food you're eating with them, they're probably binding to the minerals from those foods as well. So you end up becoming nutrient depleted. And we don't think that when we're eating a plant-based diet, yet we are starting to see a decline in health and we never wonder that it's actually our foods.
Wow. That is so much great information. I talked about the history of canola oil. There's a video on YouTube that I frequently share with my coaching students and my clients and followers. And it is this promotional video on like how it's made and it's canola oil. And they're like, this is a healthy cooking oil. And then they go into the steps of how it's made. And they're like, this is the degumming process. And it looks like this sludge and they're taking this stuff off of it. You're like, this is disgusting. And they use these like hexanes and solvents and bleach it. And they have to deodorize it and degum it. And it's just like, what? If you have to take that many steps for something to be edible, quote unquote, it's like, how healthy can that actually be for us? And when you talked about heating it up, yes, these fats are so, so fragile that, you know, when they come, they should be even like cod liver oils and fish oils and things. It's like, we know we can't really eat those because they're rancid. They could easily get rancid. I misspoke. So certain fish oils can be very rancid and we know this, and we need to make sure that certain things are extracted really well, like cold extraction processes, and really handled with care. Like, we don't want to order them to Florida where I live in the summer because they can't even sit in a hot truck because they can be damaged. So the fact that they're heating these oils up to 7 times during the production, and then they bottle them in clear plastic bottles, and light damages them too. So they're sitting on these shelves for who knows how long. And I mean, the amount of, I just feel like you're eating plastic at that point. It's just equivalent to what sort of it's gotta be. I mean, we know that there's are so many damages from these oils. They're so inflammatory. And that is one of the first things that I tell people, if not the very first thing I always have people do on their journey, is read ingredients and get these oils out. And then, you know, look at how much you're eating out, because these are the oils that they cook things in. And I happened to just watch this video of someone's story. They were like, oh, behind the scenes at this restaurant, how they cook such and such. And they squirt this oil into the pan and it's flaming, and they're like tossing something and it's flaming. I'm like, oh my goodness. So not only are we having these vegetable oils at restaurants, that they cook them at such a high heat that, and then, you know, anything fried is being reused in these oils. So it's just such a disaster. And so not only plant-based people are experiencing these kind of things, but that, you know, average people are being exposed to these oils all the time, and it's causing such a problem. So, and thank you for kind of sharing. I'm really interested. I'll link to your blog post, in the show notes of that Beyond Meat and all that, with the other ingredients in there too. They're not good for the earth, as you mentioned as well. Can you talk a little bit more about that too?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing I'll say really quickly is that, it's almost impossible to remove every single seed oil. Otherwise, you'll never be able to eat out. So
Totally.
I really think it's almost impossible to find a restaurant. And there are obviously are some good ones, but mostly they are not going to use the better oils because it's just a lot more expensive to do business. So ideally, if we remove it from our households and we remove it from our day to day, then if we go out to eat and we get a little bit of exposure, it's not as bad as when we're eating it at our homes. And so whenever we're at the store and I see somebody buying the big jugs, I really just want to go to their cart and take it out and say, no, this is so bad for you. In one of the blog posts I wrote, I think the average American eats like 25 pounds of this seed oil a year. And so imagine all of those. So you're basically eating this toxic oil that is very highly unstable. Then it goes into your body, looks for other electrons to pair it with, or other, basically raises havoc in the rest of your body. And then you have to wonder why we get sick or why we have metabolic disease. And so if we remove a lot of it, it's good. Now, I don't want people to think that, oh, I could never eat it, because yes, ideally we don't, but real life is that we probably will get exposed if we go to a different country, if we are eating out. But if we remove it from majority of our diet, we're leaps and bounds still so much healthier than if we were to just kind of use it in our day-to-day lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we're not ever looking for nutrition perfection, but it's really great to know this information so you can be informed about whether or not you want to make that decision. And I go out to eat sometimes and I, know that some things are that I order are cooked in bad oils and, sometimes they bother my stomach. I feel tired afterwards, but I do what I can. Sometimes I'll bring activated charcoal to restaurants and things. I bring my own Redmond's Real Salt. So there's things you can do, ordering raw fish and seafood is like a raw bar is a great option, just getting things grilled. So there are ways around it. But again, if you are exposed, a handful of times, it's okay. But this is absolutely something we want to get out on the regular for sure.
Yeah, and one thing I wanted to say about the fish oils is, so there are a lot of rancid fish oils. I think you should always find the best sourcing. I mean, I think we both learned that in nutritional therapy school, but there are different forms of fish oil. So there's one based on the ethyl ester form, and then there's a triglyceride form. So they are not in the forms of omega-3s that basically are super highly, they're very like, they could go rancid easily. So the thing is, they have to get converted in your body into the forms that our bodies will use. So if you use the ethyl ester form, it's the man-made form, and those become rancid very quickly. They're probably the cheaper fish oil supplements you'll see on the market. You never want to get those. It's really hard to know which one. You're going to probably have to call the manufacturer, and that's what I had to do. Like, I called Biotics and I asked, do you use the triglyceride form? And they do. So, but if you call and then you ask, and then you can even ask, like, how do you test your fish oils? Then a lot of people have, or a lot of these manufacturers have their testing and see, what rancidity they have, any toxins. And so that's when you could trust your fish oil. I don't think, I know there's this kind of dogma going around in the nutritional community that all fish oils are toxic. I think that's a very grave kind of broad brush thing. I don't agree with that, but there are a lot. You just got to be smart with the ones that you do take if you do take it.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that information. I knew that there were some good, some bad, but I didn't know what that distinction was. So your what was the word, the triglyceride? What was
So there's fish oils made from, so it's like the carrier, but basically ethyl ester is the one that they make in the, it's much more stable. And that one is the one they use in a lot of the man-made versions of the fish oil. And then there's the triglyceride form of it too.
Okay, so the triglyceride forms are better, and Biotics Research is a brand that we use a lot as NTPs. And so I'm glad to hear, and I know that I'm glad to hear that they use the correct form. And then I believe that they have pretty rigorous testing standards as
Yeah, they
well.
do. They do.
And then
Yeah, I
even,
grilled them on it because when the community was like, oh my God, fish oils are so bad, I like started. So Microbiome Labs too, they also use the triglyceride form for theirs.
Oh, good to
And I
know.
just asked them, yeah, I just grilled both of them on like, what's your steps of making sure it's not rancid? And I trust them. Otherwise I wouldn't recommend it. Not everyone needs fish oils, but I mean, you know, one of the things we learn in nutritional therapy is how important fatty acids are, right? To every single cell of our body.
Yes.
The outer layer is a biphospholipid layer, which basically the outside layer of every single cell in our body is made of fat. And so we need good fats in order to have healthy cells and a healthy body.
Yeah, absolutely. And those canola oils, those vegetable, those seed oils, as they're called. And someone's like, why do you call them vegetable oils? They're not vegetables. I'm like, I didn't make the name up. those oils, when we eat them, they become us. And so we have everything that we eat gets incorporated. Well, most things we hope get incorporated and absorbed, and they become us. And so what we eat becomes us. And so if we're eating this toxic type of oil, it becomes our cell membranes. And without a healthy cell, we can't build healthy tissues. Without healthy tissues, we can't build healthy organs, et cetera, et cetera. And we just won't be healthy, right? I remember that from module 2 in NTA school. And so yeah, these healthy fats. So, you know, fat has been stigmatized and, you know, made to be this demonic thing for so many decades. And so many people still carry this low fat sort of, or just fat phobia in their hearts. And so I can see it when people are sending me their food journals. They're, if you're not, I feel like if you're not trying to eat high fat, you're not eating high fat, you're eating low fat. And people think like, oh, I cooked the vegetables in butter, so I had fat with my meal. And I just want to say, like, that is not nearly enough fat for a body, you know, for our bodies, for our hormone health and everything like that. So you touched a little bit on the one of the foundations of nutritional therapy, which are fatty acids. And you talked a little bit about why they're so important. And so can you talk a little bit more about some of those foundations of nutritional therapy that we learned?
Yeah. So I, one of my offerings is the symptom burden assessment, or I guess the nutritional questionnaire. And I think it's such an important kind of test that we provide, because we talk about areas of the body called the foundations, or you can even consider it root cause. And then the rest is your consequences, or areas that because of these foundations or core areas are imbalanced, then you have the consequence areas becoming imbalanced. And so what we consider as part of the foundations is all of the digestive process, which is like the upper GI, the liver, gallbladder, the small intestine, large intestine. And then there's also sugar balancing, right? So making sugar, making sure that your sugar is properly balanced, so that your insulin is normalized, so that you're not taxing your adrenals and your endocrine system, which that part of the adrenals, endocrine, is all part of the consequences. So it gets affected by some of these kind of root cause or the foundational areas. And then there's also fatty acids, and hydration is one too, right? And oh, and minerals.
Yeah.
And so minerals is another big thing, because minerals, without minerals, you don't have things kind of going off as spark plugs to even get actions to happen.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's where I think when people are focusing so much on my thyroid, my hormones, my this and my that, and it's like, no, no, you have to get to the foundations where maybe you don't have enough good gut health. So if you're, for example, your thyroid is imbalanced, or you're taking T3 medication or T4 medication, well, if your small intestine is not in balance, a lot of the medication gets converted in your gut. And so maybe you are on higher medications than you need because your gut is imbalanced, right? Maybe
you have that thyroid issue to begin with, because you're not doing those conversions in the gut to start with. So then you need those medications. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Or you're deficient in iodine, right? Which is a mineral that you may need for thyroid health, right?
Yeah.
So there's all these things that I think when we get so fixated on, we need to do this, we need to do that. But if you just think about it, if we know that our food is our fuel to then make or break our body, well, we should first focus on the gut. And the gut is from when you basically see food all the way to when you have an elimination. And that whole process, I mean, you know, I mean, it can break at so many spots, and then so many cascading things can break.
Yeah.
And knowing that, then maybe we focus on the gut first, and then we make sure we have enough minerals for spark plugs to happen. We're hydrating well, and that for every cell that we have, that we have the proper fuel of fat to fuel the body. One thing I always say is that our brain is 60% cholesterol, which is fat. And so if you take statins, if you eat poor fatty foods, imagine what happens to your brain health, right? I absolutely believe that my plant-based low-fat diet caused my depression, because I don't struggle with it at all now. That's great. I wonder, you know, yeah, I wonder if the not eating enough fats or having probably all of the vegetable seed oils is what caused me to be so sick. And yeah, it's just something that we really need to consider.
Yeah. Thanks for sort of explaining all those foundations and how they connect. And I found that to be so fascinating, just because I myself came into nutritional therapy school and I had PCOS, which is a hormone imbalance. And for years, I tried unsuccessfully to reverse my PCOS by trying to target my hormones that were out of balance, which were my testosterone, estrogen, and progesterone. And what I didn't realize, and what I learned, actually, it was right before I entered school, and then this was reiterated in school, was that PCOS is the diabetes of the ovaries. Essentially, blood sugar, which causes the release of insulin, which is a hormone, is really at the root of all hormone imbalances. So you need to get the insulin and blood sugar right in order to get even thyroid right, adrenal right, female or male sex hormones right. And so again, it's coming back to that root cause and looking at those things as consequences. So it's really, really powerful.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I'll say with the whole sugar thing is I know that there's a whole movement going on where we need a lot of sugar, or we need drips of sugar throughout the day to keep up our insulin for metabolic health and all these things. And fine, like, let's say there's some literature, but let's just talk about facts. We don't have to go talk about ancestral health and all that. I don't even believe in that. The thing is, in the 1800s, the average person was eating about 22 pounds of sugar a day. A year.
I was like, whoa, that sounds like now. Yeah. So 22 pounds of sugar a year.
Right.
Right.
For in the 1800s.
Yeah.
And in 2009, I think the last kind of data point, and I'm sure it's much more now, but in 2009, the data point became 176 pounds or something like that a year.
Yeah.
Now that sounds like a lot, 176 grams or pounds of sugar. But if you do the math and you break it up into 365 days, it's a little over 200 grams of carbs or sugar a day. And that's not a lot. If you think about the amount we eat generally, I think the average American probably eats over 300 grams of carbs. I know carbs isn't the same thing as sugar, but essentially they become the same thing. Yes.
So absolutely.
If you're going to eat a lot of carbohydrates, then you shouldn't be eating a lot of the added sugars. I mean, so in the 1800s, if they were only eating 22 pounds of sugar, and I should have actually done the math for this, but
I have it on a presentation, so I will look it up as we're talking. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. So yeah. If they were eating 22 pounds and they weren't having hormonal issues, you have to wonder, do we really need sugar for hormones? Now, the other thing is our blood in our body in total is about 5 liters of blood. And within that blood, we have about, at any given time, we have about 4 grams of sugar within our bloodstream. That's what makes it kind of 80 milligrams per deciliter. And if you were to then do the math and basically see what the, so that's about basically a little less than a tablespoon of sugar in your blood at any time. And so the normal person's blood sugar levels, and then someone that is diabetic, is about 40 milligrams per deciliter more. So at about 120, and the difference is only a quarter teaspoon of sugar. So you have to think, wow, in somebody's entire body, somebody that is not diabetic and not even pre-diabetic, and then somebody that is now diagnosed as diabetic, is a quarter teaspoon of sugar difference. Now, that doesn't mean you can't eat more than a quarter teaspoon in a meal, but it just shows you how finely sugar is regulated in your bloodstream. And then knowing that, imagine eating 300 grams of sugar or carbohydrates in a day, every day, in every meal, even if you have 50 grams of added sugar in a meal. That's on the lower side, right?
Yeah.
But imagine what it does to your bloodstream. Your body has to produce enough insulin to kind of shuttle the blood sugar away. And eventually, when your insulin becomes resistant or ignores it, or the cells are full, who cares what the actual mechanism is? But eventually, your cortisol has to come and then balance that. And if you think about where cortisol comes, that's your adrenals. That is part of the hormonal system, part of the endocrine system. And your body is very, very smart with prioritizing survival. Yes. So if your blood sugar is always high, then your insulin's not fully working. And so now cortisol, your adrenals have to, instead of focusing on balancing blood pressure, balancing salt, balancing sex hormones, now it's going to just focus on balancing your blood sugars from a cortisol perspective. Well, there goes all your nutrients that you would have used for other things, right? So goodbye sex hormones. You don't need to get pregnant today because I need to make you just survive. There goes your your thyroid hormones. I don't care if your hair falls out, your skin is thinning, or you're always cold, because at least you can survive another day. But I need to make cortisol to balance your blood sugar so you could survive through today. And so when you think about that, and your blood sugar is crazy imbalanced, or we're eating the average that we eat nowadays, you have to wonder, is my hormones messed up because I'm putting too much cortisol in terms of sugar? And then that's ignoring the rest of the endocrine system, which is all your other hormones.
Wow. That was a beautiful sort of explanation of that whole hormonal cascade. The body, like you said, is always going to prioritize survival over things like reproduction. And so they have that pregnenolone steal. So this precursor hormone, pregnenolone, it could become cortisol, or it could become these sex hormones. And so instead of it becoming these sex hormones, it's like, well, we have, you know, we're sitting and thinking about politics and someone just cut me off in traffic and this person's asking too many questions on the Zoom meeting. So sorry, that's going to be, you know, it's going to be cortisol, or, you know, I'm eating too much sugar, things like that. So it's going to be cortisol so you can survive this Zoom meeting. And so we have these so many stressors. Adding this imbalanced blood sugar on top of it is just another one, and it throws the whole thing out of whack. And then I'm sure you can also explain how it also depletes all these minerals. So this whole process, not only is it terrible for our blood sugar and hormone balance, it's also robbing us of a lot of minerals and things that B vitamins and things. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So what I want people to really understand is that anything our body does requires nutrients.
Yes.
So if your body is producing a lot of cortisol because you have perceived stress, whether it's like real stress or you're just thinking of it in your head, all of that requires nutrients. So if you are already on top of all of that, eating a ton of sugar, that also is a cortisol stress. But then if you're not managing your stressors in your life, that will also cause a cortisol response. And then if you overexercise, if you fast when you are not kind of healthy enough, all of these things cause stressors, and you only have a finite amount of nutrition. So then your body needs to kind of steal it from other areas. That's where you were talking about the pregnenolone steal. And as a side note, that is why I'm not a huge fan of just, without getting to root cause, just supplementing hormones, because 100%. You might just be fueling more cortisol instead of making the pregnenolone go to your sex hormones, right? So super scary. But the thing is, like, I totally lost my train of thought. So the point is that every food has, you know, nutrition, and we need to make sure that we're fueling the areas that need nutrition. Now, if you're using a lot of cortisol, also cortisol requires a lot of B vitamins. The adrenals love to like steal salt. I think they like a little bit of vitamin C as well. And so there are all of these nutrients that cortisol needs to be made. And so when we are not nourishing our body enough, when we have too much sugar, all of these things will require a lot of nutrients to be stolen by cortisol. And then the rest of your body will just become kind of sick.
Yeah.
And so you just have to think about one, manage your stress, maybe limiting your sugars, and then also just eating the right fuel and having good gut health to even break down your foods to then support these areas, whether it's cortisol, whether it's other hormones. And adrenals not only manage your cortisol, it also is the main production of aldosterone, which manages your salts, right? So if you're imbalanced in this area and adrenals are focused on just making cortisol, then your salt might get imbalanced. And that's why people have these wonky blood pressures. It's because of your adrenals. Adrenals also make sex hormones. But then adrenals also, when you're going through menopause, now has to take on additionally all the hormone making from the ovary. So imagine why you're going through bad menopause or perimenopause symptoms. It's because you've already taxed an exhausted adrenal, and now you're expecting it to take on more. And so that transition is really ugly. And that's how you kind of know when your adrenals have been overused. In terms of minerals, so I've been doing a lot of hair mineral tests, and I noticed the first thing that kind of gets depleted when you're stressed is your salt, right? So that's where your salt gets really wonky. And then right after that is your potassium, because sodium and potassium are on a pump. So that you have a lever in your cell that will determine, oh, there's a lot of salt in the bloodstream. I need to pull out potassium from your cells, and so on and so forth. And so there's this cascade of minerals that you will lose. Once you lose, once from stress, from high sugar, you will lose some salt, and then you will lose some potassium, and then it goes to magnesium and then calcium. And so it's really smart to really be balanced with what you're eating, with what you, with your stress. And so if there is an imbalance, I would first look again to gut health, right? If it doesn't matter what foods you're eating, meat is the most bioavailable, meaning that even if your gut is wrecked, there's a higher chance of absorbing nutrients from meats over plants, but you still have to work on your gut health. I have so many clients that eat like nose to tail, and they still show nutritional deficiencies. And that to me is because they need to work on their gut health.
Yeah, absolutely. There, and a lot of people think that gut health is just taking a probiotic. People will say like, "Oh, well, I'm taking a probiotic." And there's so many steps of digestion before we even get to the large intestine, which that probiotic is aimed to help. That doesn't address stomach acid, pancreatic enzymes, bile, the small intestine where all the nutrient absorption is supposed to happen, where so much inflammation lives, and then we get reduced absorption, and then we finally get to that large intestine. So this is why digestion is always the number one healing priority of the body, because we have to be able to break down food and absorb that food, because every single process in our body, that I love that you said this quote, needs nutrients. We run on nutrients. I think that people, there's such a disconnect between humans, modern humans, and our food society, and not food society, our, like our society and food. And so we're so disconnected from the whole process of having to, like, we are at the top of the food chain. We are part of this cycle of life. We need to, kill an animal and eat that animal and then feed more at, like, there's plants and there's all these things that go into this. And we are so disconnected from it that we don't realize that, first of all, animals are an essential part of the whole food chain and us being able to survive. Without death, we can't have new birth and new life. So soils and things, the fertilizers that go in there are bone meal, blood meal, poop from, decaying animals. All these things go into this wonderful organic soil that then grows plants that either some humans eat or other animals eat. And this process is so intricate and so beautiful, and it's sad, but we can't take ourselves outside of it. It just doesn't work that way. But anyway, yeah, the process of digestion is so important, and it really just fuels the entire body. And you can see that these minerals, everything is in such a delicate balance, and stress can just really throw it all off. And so I love that idea of I was just thinking as you were talking, like the salt and the potassium. So if you're a keto eater, if you eat avocados, like having some avocado and some like really good quality salt would be a really good way to get some salt, some of that sodium and some potassium if you're in times of stress. So just a healing sort of food opportunity there. But tell us a little bit more. I like how you were talking about, of course, you are from the carnivore world, and I strongly believe that animal foods are the most nutrient-dense foods and the easiest for our bodies to absorb and utilize. So a lot of nutrients in plants are these precursor sort of nutrients. So, you see a bag of carrots and it says vitamin A, 240% daily value. It's like, no, it's not. That's the, beta carotene. It needs to be formed into the usable form retinol in our bodies. Most of us are very poor converters. Same thing goes with like ALA, which is in omega-3s. So can you tell us a little bit more about, let's say, like nutrient density of meats and bioavailability? We were already started talking about the anti-nutrients, which I loved that too. I didn't even get to comment on it. So much good information.
Yeah. One thing I'll say really quickly is, sure. You know, when we think that our bodies are resilient, it'll use whatever food we eat to then get nutrition. But I do find it very odd that we all, and I was in the same camp, but we think that, you know, when we are building a new house or we're building any kind of structure, whether even like our kids using Legos, like we know that we need the strongest foundation to then even build a great house. And so we buy really expensive raw materials, right? Our flooring, we're like, we know there's a difference with real wood versus laminate, right? We know these things and we hold them to be true. But then we don't wonder like the foods we put in our bodies. And I find it so fascinating that there are some people that know that our animals can't eat, you know, dogs are meant to eat more carnivorous food. So then they feed their dogs a raw carnivore diet. And then they're like, I'm going to go get Taco Bell. And I just find it so, I get it. Our bodies are resilient and they are up to a certain point when you start getting sick. And then you realize, actually, we probably should be also fueling our bodies with the raw materials that are good. So that's right. Just something.
That was the train of thought that I was on that I kind of forgot where I was going with it. But yes, like we're disconnected from our food and we don't realize that we need nutrients. I feel like people are like, oh, I'm just going to buy this trick cereal for my kids. I don't even know if they still make that. And, you know, I'm just going to go through the drive-through and that's it. Like no one thinks about, well, did I get my recommended daily amount or just, I mean, that's not even accurate, but it's like, am I sufficient in these minerals? Right. Like, am I breaking things down? Like if something's not going right, where can I point to? You know, it's not a deficiency of like blood pressure medication, you know, it's a deficiency of certain nutrients and stress in our body causing these cascades of issues. Oh
yeah. And one thing is that there's a difference with, I mean, I'm a fan of supplements. So I think that one thing I've learned, and I wasn't when I first joined carnivore, I was like, no one needs supplements, right? And this is, I think, the dogma that's in the space. And I was like, no one needs supplements. We will get it from our bioavailable meats. But yeah, as I work with clients, I see the gut issues. And so people needed to supplement. And I hate to say that, but it's true. I think a lot of our minerals are depleted from our soils. Our cows, even if they're grass fed, they're eating depleted soil. So you are seeing a tendency of mineral deficiencies, and plants aren't the ones that are going to answer that. They one have been proven to have less minerals. And then on top of that, they have anti-nutrients that block your ability to absorb these nutrients. So it's not that it's plants that are the answers. It's just, I think in general, our food is becoming depleted in nutrients. And given that, forgot what I was saying. But basically, you know, given that, it's just, we need to make sure that we're fueling our bodies with the right fuel. Oh, and then I don't even know if it is, but Trix is supposedly has added all these, you know, minerals and additives and whatever other else stuff like iron. And the thing is that this, as much as I'm a fan of supplements, these, I guess, added vitamins, they're not the
synthetic vitamins.
Yeah. The synthetic vitamins are not the ones that maybe are in quality vitamins. I mean, do you think the company Trix or Cheerios or all of these places that fortify iron, they're going to add the most bioavailable, you know, food, or even with our milk, right? We add that because during the processing part, it's all removed. And now we're taking a synthetic version. And
I'm sorry,
Judy,
it got cut off when you
say that synthetic version.
I'm sorry, it got cut off when you were talking about the milk. It like glitched out a little bit. So what were you saying happened with the milk and we had to add something back in?
Okay. So with our milk, when you homogenize milk, you pasteurize milk, there are, you know, a lot of the vitamins, the enzymes gets removed. And so the vitamin D that you're getting, the calcium that they add back to the milk, this is required by law to the manufacturers. It is not the same as eating raw milk that has all the enzymes that can help you break down lactose, that has all the bioavailable minerals and nutrients. And then you have to wonder, when you are intolerant to dairy, is it really dairy that you're intolerant to, or is it this Franken milk that we consume that has basically stripped away of every nutrient and enzyme, and then we just add back everything? But it, you know, basically, if you were to feed your baby breast milk homogenized or pasteurized, they would die. And so, knowing that, is it really smart that we're eating cheese that's, you know, not the raw version? Now, I do have clients that eat it. I eat it myself, but it's just these things to think about, is if we were to eat food in its most natural form, it's probably the most ideal. And that's where you will get the best nutrients that your body can absorb, and you will probably feel the best.
Yeah, that's a great point about those added sort of when things are fortified. So even like almond milks, they add in like vitamin D2 and they add in different minerals and things. But vitamin D2, for example, just one off the top, that's not the usable form. That's not the best form for our body to use vitamin D in. It's vitamin D3. So that's why a lot of supplements are vitamin D3. And so as an NTP, I do recommend many supplements to my clients, but these supplements are more often to, and I'm sure that you do the same, is we know that the body has is an innate healing machine. If I cut my hand, I don't need to do anything. My hand is going to heal itself. Same thing in the inside of our body. Our bodies are constantly trying to heal themselves. And so they have this innate wisdom of how to heal themselves, but there's things that we're doing that are blocking our body from healing. So we're deficient in certain things, and then we're doing certain things or adding certain things in that are blocking this healing. And so what we do with nutritional therapy is try to help to sort of replete a deficiency if that's the case. And oftentimes I will be recommending like grass-fed liver instead of a B vitamin complex or something, you know? So we take this food first approach or even in pill form, like ancestral supplements. And so giving the body like heals like will load up on these nutrients so we can replete those deficiencies and then also help the body to do what it does best. So if you know, support digestion so that it can actually absorb more nutrients, so that the body can have more of these nutrients to run and the systems will be better. So I love the idea that you talked about. We our soils are so depleted. We are living in a modern era with more stress and more pollutants and toxins than ever before in human history. So we have to do things a little bit different from just an ancestral approach because we're modern, you know? And so I think that a lot of people are afraid to say like it's great to be able to eat really healthy foods and not take any supplements, but we don't have access to wonderful soils and our foods over decades of time with these depleted soils have lost so many nutrients in them that we just can't do it all. And it just really accelerates healing from my experience as well.
Yeah, no, and I'm totally on the same page. This is what I always say. If you are coming to me when you're 40 and 50 and you had bad food that whole time, you can't expect your body to just think, okay, I'm just going to switch on, eat some really good foods, and then my body's going to heal. That is a bit of a stretch. And the logic I can give you is on stomach acid. So your stomach acid is basically hydrochloric acid with other types of digestive enzymes. If you have stomach, your stomach is impaired, you don't have enough hydrochloric acid because you've been taking PPIs or other, you know, acid blockers for such a long time. Well, how are you going to increase your stomach acid if you don't use a supplement like betaine HCl, for example?
Yep.
You need zinc to produce hydrochloric acid. You also need chloride or salts. So there are some people in this space that are like, you don't even need salt. So my question is, if you don't have the enzymes and the zinc to produce hydrochloric acid, how are you going to break down your steak or your meats to then pull out the zinc from it if your gut health is all impaired? Like, how would you do that when the whole cycle is basically you will be constantly depleted of zinc? And if you are now eating other plants with it, well, they will bind to zinc as well. So again, this is where I think gut health and taking digestive enzymes and other supplements is a smart thing to do. I mean, there's no dogma of, oh, I can't take this supplement because I'm on this, you know, natural diet. I don't know, but it's just, I have seen hundreds of clients at this point where they improved eating a meat-based diet by eating some supplements for gut health, where now they can actually break down their foods better. And so I think it's silly not to think that you can just use that for temporary. Now, I don't think you should use it forever. If you need to, then maybe something's wrong with your diet. But a supplement can be a great healing process and make things go faster while you're healing. Excuse me.
Yeah, 100%. That's such a great example. Like, you need the zinc from meat to break down the meat. So if you don't have it to begin with, you need that supplement. That's a really, really great example. And one that I often tell my clients as well. And so it really just comes back to, I think that so many people in the keto and carnivore space, this low carb space, we keep coming back to diet. So it's like, okay, I start out as low carb. Low carb is not really working that much. So then I go to keto. Keto, okay, I saw some results and now I'm plateaued. I'm not seeing what I want. Now I'm going to go carnivore. And so I do, from a broad perspective, if we zoom out and we look at what a person's doing, they are probably getting rid of a lot of maybe hard to digest carbohydrates, like long chain polysaccharides. Those are really hard for me to digest. Maybe you'll see reduced bloating. We'll see blood sugar improve. We'll see some insulin stuff improve. We'll see maybe they just keep taking out more foods and getting more restrictive. And then they get to carnivore and they're like, what else can I take out? And then people are like, just eating ground beef. And they're like, this is the only thing I can tolerate. And so once you've sort of backed yourself into that wall, you're just kind of like, removing foods can't be the only strategy that you have. And diet is not the only thing that's going to heal you. And so I think this conversation really highlights how important digestion is to this process, how important all the, like, the mineral balance and the blood sugar balance, fatty acid balance, all of these things are so essential. So can you talk a little bit about, like, that sort of cycle of that, like, restriction you might see and where people may benefit from getting some help?
Yeah. So I wrote the carnivore cure based on an elimination diet, meaning that you can remove foods, start from like a baseline of the safest foods that you can eat. And then over time, as you heal the gut, you work on it, you take supplements, whatever you do. And then you can, if you feel a baseline of health where you don't really have symptoms, you feel decent, then you can maybe try adding one other new food. And then you sort of reintroduce that way. When people get to carnivore and they eat just ground beef and they're like, my safe food is ground beef and that's all I'm going to eat, I totally think that's a Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. The reason is your body should be resilient, right? So if you cannot tolerate chicken, there's something wrong with that. Now, you may have an allergy that may be different, but in general, if the only thing you could tolerate is ground beef, something is off and you're not getting to root cause healing, this is where you need to investigate. So whether it's gut health, whether it's an immune response, whatever it is. And that's where I am not the biggest fan of the kind of dogma that's in the nutritional space with like keto or carnivore. It's, you know, like don't use supplements or all you need is meat. There's truth in these little kind of sound bites, but there's a lot more to it than just that. I don't think that people in the carnivore space should just eat the meat they tolerate. And then that's all they eat for the rest of their lives. Ideally, you can eat something if you go travel or you eat off plan, or you have a little bit of seed oil and your body can tolerate it. Do you notice symptoms? Sure. I think any well-oiled machine, if you start eating canola oil, you'll feel a little less well, but in general, you should be able to tolerate it and not be keeled over on the bed. And I have clients that are like that. And so the goal is healing at the root cause. And so whatever that means for you, but it's not just, I'm only going to eat steaks for the rest of my life, because that's what I do well with. I just think it's a Band-Aid and I just don't think that's ideal. There are people in the space that disagree with me, but I think these dogmas, while they're kind of helpful when someone starts a diet, they could also be detrimental, right? There's this dogma of I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do that, I should be eating this and I should be eating that. And it's just, no, find what works for you. Work with a practitioner. Like, I think this is the part that drives me crazy is I see so many people follow so many other people, and then they take XYZ things or supplements or tests or whatever, and then they don't actually work with someone. And I mean, I just said this in a recent podcast, but a lot of illnesses have very similar symptoms. And so you have to wonder, you know, which should I really go, you know, the heavy metal route, but maybe I should just work with the practitioner instead of possibly doing more havoc on the body. And, you know, you and I talked about this offline, but a nutritional therapy practitioner, for example, is different than just somebody that, you know, may get a certification somewhere else. We actually go through intense hours of training, and then we do in-person training where we actually learn to muscle test and test the body and see how our lymphs actually react to, and the nervous system reacts. We do a lot of training in person. We do a lot of reading outside. It is so intense. And it's just, you need those foundations then to be able to support another person's body and also the fundamental ideology behind it, right? So for us, it's, you always, like some of the things I remember from NTA school is meet the client where they are, right? It's not like, I'm not going to push on somebody, you have to eat meat-based. If they're like, I'm not giving up my tricks, I have to figure out how am I going to work with it that he can get some tricks still, right? You know what I'm saying? So you have to work with where they are, and then always focus on the foundations, which is always gut health, fatty acids, mineral balancing, hydration. And then the other areas like your adrenals, your endocrine system, the thyroid, the pituitary, your sex hormones, all your cardiovascular liver, your kidneys, and your immune system, all of that is consequences of your foundations not being supported. So yeah, I would recommend working for, I'm totally probably biased, but I would totally recommend working with a nutritional therapy practitioner because we have this education and then we are, you know, taught to even learn how to read a study, right? I don't know if you remember that book,
We
literally read a book that teaches us how to really understand how studies are done, if they're, it's a good study and if it's valid and so on and so forth. And so, I mean, it's really good to work with someone when you're healing because there are practitioners. One area I've been really looking into lately is heavy metals. And there are so many different schools of thoughts on how to protect yourself or detox from heavy metals. And it's kind of scary. And if you use the wrong methodology, and I wouldn't say it's an exact right way, but if you use wrong ones, you can actually circulate heavy metals and actually get them stored in your brain. And that's when it becomes super dangerous. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so intense. So you said so much great stuff in there. And so going back, I think to when we talked about the elimination diet. So I love the idea of an elimination diet, but just using an elimination diet and continuing to eliminate is not finishing like what you started, right?
Yeah.
So the goal is not to just only eat two foods for the rest of your life and feel no symptoms. The goal is to be able to eat a wide variety of foods, whatever that looks like for you, because of course, nutritional therapy goes hand in hand with bioindividuality. That's one of the biggest things we learn. No two people are going to eat the same things and thrive. And then also that our needs are going to change over time and in seasons and things like that. And so I myself did really well with a very strict ketogenic diet with intermittent fasting. I would do a few weeks of carnivore here or there. And then I slowly was able to, I felt better doing some carb ups and doing some carb cycling. And that changed. It changed over time. It changed as my body was changing. So continuing to meet my body where it's at and remove this sort of frame of dogma, like I shouldn't be doing this. I can't do this because it doesn't fall under carnivore. It's like, we have to sort of, it's easy to really identify with something that helped you to heal. And so you think that like, I need to keep doing this because this helped me heal and I need to just continue it. But sometimes we can really get ourselves in a rut that way. That happened to me with paleo. Paleo helped me heal my terrible allergies and asthma and sinus stuff. And then I developed PCOS while I was doing paleo and I just tried to paleo harder and it didn't work obviously because I was doing the same exact thing. And so, so adding back in foods and then working with a practitioner. I see this all the time. People, it's like we have cars and there's something wrong with the car, we immediately bring our vehicle to a mechanic. And that mechanic doesn't say, just change the fuel and just upgrade the fuel and it's going to be great. No, they're going to look under the hood. They need to see what's going on. And this is why working with a nutritional therapy practitioner who can help you look under the hood at what's going on with all these processes of your body through this symptom burden analysis. And I love that you're doing these mineral tests and even heavy metals. And I'm actually in school to do the restorative wellness program so I can do functional gut testing. Oh, okay. And so, you know, all these tools, they're so amazing, but people need to know this stuff is out there. And I also think people just go to their doctor and they're in this Western medicine sort of framework. They're not getting the answers that they need. And they think it can't be fixed with nutrition. And it's like, there's so many things that, you know, maybe some testing is needed, but starting just with a practitioner, getting your digestion right, getting these minerals balanced, getting your blood sugar balanced, it's not as simple as like, oh, there's a great post from Judy and I saw something that Danny said and I'm trying this and I'm trying that. People are all over the map. And so to kind of give something a try, working with a practitioner, give something a try, give it time to work, and then sort of modify from there. It's really huge. I wasted over 6 years trying to heal myself. And
yeah, I mean, I think when I work with clients, they've already been on the same journey as you. So they've done paleo, they did keto, and then carnivore, and then they're just at a point where they're just sick. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when they work on the gut, take guts, like most of my clients take supplements. So, you know, I'll just put that mm-hmm. out there. But as they are healing their gut, a lot of their symptoms get better. We talk about a lot of my clients, some of them have amenorrhea where they lose their period, or some of them have like hot flashes and they can't just sleep through the night. So a lot of them, if they are working on the gut, they eat maybe different macros on their carnivore diet, they will find healing. But I think when we are, maybe it's the carbs, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. And it's just, it doesn't get to root cause. And that's the biggest heartburn I have. If you want to eat carbs, I don't care, you know, but
yeah,
it's just one, you have to know your bio individuality. I know for me, if I ate a ton of fruit, I think that would cause my kind of previous eating disorder to spike up with the sugar.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't really test it, but I'm not wanting to test that right now either. But you know, but if someone doesn't have sugar dysregulation, they never had prediabetes, they never had an eating disorder, I'm sure eating a little bit of fruit and honey is not a big issue, right? Mm-hmm. So this is where the bio individuality is so important. But if you, you know, if you work with someone, you can at least, it can help you go through a lot of the guesswork, because at the end of the day, the practitioners have worked with many clients. And so they have a kind of an arsenal of tools that they've seen work with other people. And so they are better equipped to help you than if you just read a blog post or you just read an Instagram post that kind of gave you a clue into something, because these people just are like you and I have more experience working with other people and we know what doesn't and does and does not work.
Right. And we can help you get there by meeting you where you're at and taking you to the next step, as opposed to like some people, you know, it's maybe ill-advised for some people to just jump from a standard American diet to a keto or carnivore diet. It's like, it's really hard on the body. I actually just did a podcast about that a few weeks ago, that you might want to slowly integrate that, because that's going to be a huge hit on your digestion. You know, like imagine all of a sudden you eat or like doing plant-based or something, and then trying to add in all this meat, while it's well-intentioned, it's like, maybe you need someone to help you bridge that gap so you can get there a little bit slower, a little bit less intense on the adrenals, on all, you know, having all these detox reactions. People get sent to the hospital. I have people being like, I tried keto, but I was in the hospital for 3 days. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, you know, this is serious, because the, you know, digestive issues, you don't have enough fat from the gallbladder. For the first time, your gallbladder is working in 20 years and you're trying to make it digest all the like 80% fat. And whew, it could be a recipe for, you know, getting sent to the hospital. And then you think, I'm just someone who can't do this. And so doing it the right way, like this is investing in your health, right? This is one, the biggest investment, the most important investment you could make, you know? So thank you so much for all the wisdom that you shared, Judy. And I wrote down so many questions to ask you and I didn't ask you any of them, but I love this conversation way better than the questions I wrote down. So I'm really glad that we had so much to chat about.
One thing I know, one of the questions you were going to ask me is about the blood sugar dysregulation with on a carnivore diet. So I'll just touch upon that really
Oh,
quickly.
awesome. Yeah.
So it is true that I've seen most of my clients, their blood sugar is a little bit higher. So I think if you are eating too much protein, which again, this is another dogma that's in the carnivore community, it's like, don't worry about how much meat you eat. Yeah, sure, fine. If you're transitioning and you're from keto and you just need to fill your stomach with meat, fine. But soon after, you should actually regulate the amount of protein. Amino acids are really hard to break down in the body. It takes a lot of energy. That's why there's all these like protein sparing modified fast, because protein itself is a energy tax in the body. So imagine if you're already stressed with cortisol, and now imagine you're eating a ton of meat with very little fat. Your body has to do all this digestion, and it's an energy source. Now, yeah, you'll lose weight because it's intensive energy within the body, but your body then has to break down all the meat into gluconeogenesis to provide you glycogen for energy. But the other energy source is fat, right? So think about a ketogenic diet. A well-formulated one is about 75% fat. So when you go meat-based, if you're eating a lot of meat, like let's say you eat a ton of chicken thighs or something and you don't, or like the leaner beef cuts, but you don't add a lot of fat, now your body doesn't have the fat or the ketones to really use, and is you're more depending on the protein synthesis to gluconeogenesis. So for a lot of my clients, one, I find that they're under eating, but secondly, they're eating either eating too much protein or not enough protein, but they're always under eating fat. So you're just like we talked about how for thyroid health, for T4 and T3, you need proteins and quality iodine. So those two are really important. But then for your hormones, like your adrenals, your cortisol is produced from cholesterol. So you need good fats. Now you can produce some within your body, but if you have excess, you obviously need good fats to support your body. So if your blood sugar is running high on carnivore, I don't think the answer is necessarily you have to eat plants. You will see an improvement, but that's just maybe biochemistry wise, your body might just be processing the blood sugar differently. I would say that if you are not sleeping through the night, your blood sugars are over 100 in the mornings on carnivore, you're probably eating too much meat. Maybe you're not breaking it down. Maybe it's something to do with digestion, but I would actually try to increase your fat up to 75%. Some people need up to 80, but make sure to eat enough protein because you need it for your thyroid. I think this macro balance is really delicate, more than people think it is. And that's where I'm starting to see people having the thinning hair on carnivore, or it's because, are you eating enough protein? It's not just eat a ton of fat, because the fat won't support your thyroid, right? So it's all these different levers. Stress is huge. I see people heal their gut, heal everything on carnivore, and then they still have a little bit of healing and they need to heal some of the trauma from their past. And so they go through like EMDR therapy and like tapping and other things to work on resolving their natural stress state. Like all of these are so important. And as nutritional therapists, we understand this. And so it's not, diet is so important, but it is not the only thing.
100%. That very, very well said. Thank you for explaining that bit on the high blood sugar on carnivore, because that is something that I get a lot of people coming to me like, I went carnivore and now my blood sugar is higher, and the body can't store excess amino acids, so it has to convert it to glucose and or glycogen. So that is definitely a factor. So playing with those macro ratios can be helpful. And then again, working with a practitioner, of course, and especially if you're doing carnivore and you're having that exact issue, reach out to Judy. You are very active on social media. So can you tell us where people can find you and your book as well, which I'll link to everything in the show notes.
Okay, thank you. So my book is on Amazon US, and then all the ebook is kind of everywhere. It's at carnivorecure.com as well. And then my name is basically Nutrition with Judy, and I'm on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. And yeah, I just share like mini micro blogs every few days.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Judy. This has been such a great conversation. It's so good to chat with a nutritional therapist, someone who's like really speaking my language and understands and is helped to sort of explain the beauty and of nutritional therapy. I've just seen so many people find so much deep healing, so much more than any just diet change could do. People are like, oh, you reverse PCOS with a keto diet? I'm like, yeah, and nutritional therapy, because it's not just one, you know, we need all the things. We need the lifestyle stuff, the movement, the foundation. So it's really, really important. So thanks for coming on. Oh, and you wanted to say one more thing?
Yeah, no, I just want to say one thing. This will kind of drive the point home. I just interviewed someone not that long ago, and they were following a ketogenic carnivore diet, eating super clean. Stress was really high in their life, and they actually had a heart attack. And they look metabolically super healthy, young, fit. And so that just shows you, right? Like, so it was shocking for me because, I mean, this person knows a lot about heart health as well. And so it just shows you that there's so many other components like toxins and whatever else. And I mean, stress is huge because, again, in order to manage stress, you need the raw materials to do that. And so I just think that diet is so important. But I mean, like you said, if you want to just label it all as nutritional therapy, it's really like you need holistic health.
Yeah, absolutely. I just actually had Jody Cohen on my show, and she does Vibrant Blue Oils. Not sure if you're familiar with her, but she's an NTP as well. And she does essential oils for getting into a parasympathetic state. And so it's amazing my internet is unstable. I'm sorry if I'm glitchy. But using just different tools to really help the body tap into that state where healing is possible. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I have an initial consultation with a client and we're talking about breathing and lifestyle practices and meditation and, you know, getting this movement in and tapping and all this stuff that they're like, oh, well, like I thought I was just gonna, you know, change my diet, you know, but I have someone who's doing a carnivore diet, who's an ultra runner. And she's like, I'm just feeling nauseous when I try to eat. I'm like, well, it sounds like you're still in a sympathetic state from having run like, you know, 8 miles, which to you is nothing, but the body is stressed. So I have her laying down for 5 minutes doing deep breathing. And she's like, oh yeah, the nausea went away. I'm like, yeah, great. You know, like we have to use all these strategies. And, you know, healing is, it's not simple, but working with someone to kind of synthesize to those root causes where you can address those first, it's profound. So thank you again for coming on, Judy. I feel like we could talk forever. Maybe we'll have to have you on again to answer all these questions. So thanks for coming on. Have a good one.
Well, thanks for having me.
Sure. Bye-bye.
You too.
So there you have it. That is the interview with Judy. Thank you so much to her for coming on the show. You can find her on Instagram at Nutrition with Judy, and I posted her contact information in the show notes of the show. And also remember, if you are interested in signing up for Blood Sugar Mastery, you can sign up via the link in the show notes or the link in my Instagram bio. So, and that website, in case you don't know what either of those are, is daniellehamiltonhealth.com/bloodsugarmastery. And that will get you all the information about the course. There is a payment plan. There's a VIP option. There's a pay in full option to get you into this life-changing, life-transforming 8-week program. I can't wait to see you all inside. And thank you again for listening to this very long episode of the Unlock the Sugar Shackles podcast. Have a good one, everyone. See you next time.